Welcome to the Maggie Williams Podcast, where we discuss hunting, travel, and outdoor adventures. Proudly sponsored by Rolling Thunder Game Calls, the sound of a new generation. Brought to you by Heavy Shot, industry leaders in shot shell ammunition innovation. I didn't come this far to miss. Lost Hat Company. Ask your other hat company what choke you should shoot. Get lost. And Ridgemark Retrievers, the trusted experts behind Kate's gun dog training. Find your mark.
What's going on, y'all? And welcome to another episode of the Maggie Williams Podcast. I am so happy to be back talking with you guys. And I've got a longtime friend of mine that's here as my guest today. Everybody give a warm welcome to Mr. Tripp Hodges.
What's up? How are you?
Happy to have you here. Happy to be here. It was a great day in Georgia.
Sure enough. I mean, it was... I guess the word is just refreshing. Been kind of a little bit of a crazy 7 days for you. I'm working throughout the week, but today was just one of them days you couldn't write it up any better. You know, it's kind of one of them ideal days. So
it was awesome. It was awesome. But to give you guys some background on the long 7 days. Y'all, so we were hunting Alabama with Macy. Y'all know Macy Watkins. And had so much fun in Alabama. And I was like, all right, great. I'm really close to Georgia. I'm going to go ahead and just knock Georgia out of the way. And I do not get an hour down the road. And I am in Birmingham, Alabama. And my transmission goes out. Luckily for me, Tripp was also in Alabama. He was hunting with a buddy up north, and I was down south, and so we connected in the middle of the state, and thank goodness we did, because my transmission went out right around Birmingham, and that was a little disappointing, because it had 49,000 miles on the truck. It was a shocker, to say the least.
I
didn't know what was happening. Tripp is actually an expert on transmissions.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen two blow on the same rig. I mean, one of them just... horrible lemon trucks. I mean, the third day I owned my vehicle, transmission goes out. Then I go to Montana on an elk hunt several years back, and this is like a year, not even a whole year after I just replaced transmission. The day I'm supposed to be coming home from Montana, transmission goes out. So I mean, I've been around some blown up transmissions, and here we are. It wasn't my truck, thankfully, this time, but nonetheless. Here we are trying to figure out how to get a vehicle off a very heavy six-lane interstate in Birmingham, Alabama.
And I'm telling you, so my daddy harps on me about keeping a warranty on something. And I was like, man, these new trucks, I mean, they're built great. They ought to last a lifetime. That is incorrect. I've had no trouble with my trucks, actually, until now. So, I mean... my engine was revving when I gave it gas, and there was nothing happening. It got real loud, and then suddenly I just had no power. And luckily, so I don't know if you guys are familiar with the guys at Shin Gear, but Mr. Grayson Morris.
Shout out Greyhound.
Yeah, shout out to Greyhound, because I called him. I was in Birmingham, and I said, I know you're from here. I need a place to put my truck until my Chevrolet place can come get my vehicle. And he's like, just leave it in my parents' driveway. Don't worry about it. So, thank you very much to Mr. and Mrs. Morris. Let's just talk about that Shin Gear customer service, man. That is unbeatable.
Well, this
is their thing, actually.
This is not the first time that Grayson Morris has... Shin Gear probably should go into a rental/trucking service, I think, because this is like the second or third time I know that Grayson has had to do this. But on the flip side of that, I can also remember during the ice storm when during duck season in January, the ice storm, Grayson was having some truck problems. And so I said, hey, Greyhound.
Just take his truck.
Just take my truck for a couple of days, that which turned into about a week and a half, 2 weeks, I think.
That was crazy. That was actually insane.
Because, I mean, I said, I'm not going anywhere. I mean, it's iced over here. I think I'm going to just stay right here on this river and hunt ducks. But you're more welcome to go to work every day on my truck if you'd like to. So
that's what he did.
I guess he kind of owed the team one. Of course, our team, I mean, between... Lord have mercy, I've had some truck problems. My engine blew up, so I had to get a new truck before duck season.
I forgot about that.
And Greyhound helped me out. Then Greyhound's truck was out. Now your truck's out, so I guess it's my turn again here pretty soon.
I mean, we've been hurting. But so I guess that being said, whenever you buy a pair of Shin waders, you unofficially also get a membership to Shin AAA.
Yeah.
Don't quote me on that. Don't hold me to that. But that's what it seems like. So, in addition to your lifetime warranty.
Oh, man, yeah. I'm just grateful that, you know, having friends and kind of all over. And I'm glad we're going to Georgia anyways. Cause
the best part of this, yeah, is that Tripp has a job in Georgia now. And so I was like, hey, man. Let me ride with you. I didn't want to go home because at this point I just didn't know what would happen with my truck. I didn't know how long that would take, how long it'd be till I was in another one. I did not want to drive one of my dad's work trucks over all the way to Georgia because, quite frankly, they're in the field. Like, they really can't afford for me to borrow a truck, and I didn't want to borrow a loaner from my dealership just because of the fact that I'm 22 years old. I'm also going turkey hunting across the country.
You're gonna put $30,000 on a loaner truck pretty quick, probably. Probably not ideal.
So, I just rode a trip to Georgia, and now I'm here.
Yeah, but I mean, that was the next thing was like, so you know, we're coming to Georgia now, and I'm in North Georgia, and we've been on the road so heavy, just really haven't had time to get any permission on anything up here or finding a lease nowadays is, I mean, it's impossible, especially when you tell somebody, hey, I'm a turkey hunter. I'd like to lease some ground.
It also does not help that on my way back to Florida for the second time, I stopped in Georgia on the way down and scouted on Public. And I immediately called back and reported, hey, this is going to be a slam dunk.
Yeah.
I had turkeys gobbling a month ago, hammering. I had to run out of the woods.
Yeah.
I thought I was going to educate a turkey a month before season because he was coming in.
Yeah, no doubt. So that was the next thing was like our headspace was like, well, you know, we'll try to get some private permission. Maggie, you know, I'll be at work, but go take my truck, try to get some permission. If it don't work out, public opportunity seems great up here. Well, then doing some research, public don't open up until the second Saturday of season, so now that's out. So now it's like, okay, you have to get permission on some private and figure out how I can get to work every day while you hunt and that I could be picked up from work. And the first day, we thought you were going to be back in time, and then I ended up being at work for another 2 hours and ended up having to Uber in a small town. And if you ever had to try to Uber in a town with a population less than 10,000, not easy.
Not easy. And Ubers also apparently do not like to agree to take you from the middle of nowhere 2 hours south, I've learned. They will cancel on you so fast the second they realize how long that trip is.
Yeah. So
it was just hard.
But it was, you know, that was the tough thing. But I mean, we were like, there's turkeys around here, surely, you know, figure it out. And I mean, everybody knows how it can be. If you ever tried door knocking anywhere in the south, it's just, God, I mean, it's hard. But figured it out. And, you know, I mean, I guess you can tell them a little bit about how your week went. I was sitting behind the computer all week long. So
I'll be honest with you guys. I told Tripp on that Monday, I was like, hey, I'm going to knock mine. I don't know why I was so confident in the fact that I was just going to be a gimme state. I guess it's because it was just, they were hot a month ago. I just knew it was going to be on. And told him, I said, hey, I'm going to get my bird, and I'm going to have you one tied up by the time this week is over. So as soon as you're off work, we're going to come knock it out. And that just was not the case. I was really, really blessed. I had a lot of people in my circle kind of try to make connections for me, and I made a few myself. And I had people say, hey, you know, I've got a lease here, and nobody's going to be around on days X, Y, Z. You can go hunt it, or, you know, yada, yada, yada. Papaw's back 40, whatever. And, but the biggest challenge was there's only a few days of the week I could hunt these places I had access. So it wasn't.
And it seemed like every one of those days you could hunt, nobody else was hunting it because it was raining or it was, you know, 32 degrees outside as well.
It was no coincidence why I had the properties to myself, which, I mean, I had turkey sign, caught up some hens. I mean, it was so evident that longbeards were there. I mean, but it was just, I went days without even hearing a gobble. And, man, it was just, it was tough. And that's all, I mean, I even really know what to say. It's just, in between getting to these places, I had opportunities farther south, 5 hours away. But tell me this, how do you borrow someone's pickup truck and drive five hours away while they're at work? You don't. You can't. So I had people call me saying, hey, I got you a turkey tied up down here. I know what tree's sleeping in. Well, I'm sorry. Like, I just could not make it. And I appreciated the offers. And I was like, if I was in my truck, I'd be there, you know, yesterday. But I couldn't get there. But, yeah, there was no coincidence why I was hunting a lot on these places. And then finally, during the weekend, you know, obviously, hunters were back. I no longer had access. And so then I was just back to base one.
Yeah, I mean, but I remember Saturday. I mean, Saturday just scared me. I mean, we're getting tough thinking like, God, this just ain't going to happen right now.
Well, let's also talk about what happened on Saturday. Friday, we had some really, really kind guys that were like, hey, I got a place. You can come hunt on me. And I was like, awesome. And they just basically made it seem like a slam dunk place. And so I automatically assumed they were turkey hunters. And one of these guys had been turkey hunting. He'd killed a few turkeys in his life, which is great. I mean, he knew the drill. The other guy had never killed a turkey. And so I was like, man, I did not realize at that time what I was getting into.
Yeah, I mean, and not only had he not killed one, he was
trying to kill us
first.
Trying
to kill us first, which is great.
Which I was so happy. I would have never accepted that offer and infringed on his opportunity if I would have known. You know what I mean?
Correct.
So they were super sweet guys, but I felt like I just didn't want to step on their toes. And anyway, they were awesome. And finally, we split up into little pairs. And luckily, he was able to get his first turkey. And that was awesome. I wasn't there to see it. But that evening after he got on his first bird, we all kind of met back up to try to make a game plan, and those boys had to work, and we couldn't have the properties without them. And anyway, we had other opportunities, other places to hunt. They were 3 hours away, 4 hours away from where we were at. And so one of the guys hanging around there, he just straight up asked me, he said, hey, we all going to Arkansas to hunt? And this was a guy that had not been turkey hunting with. We had not even met. I didn't know his name. And I was like, well, I mean, these guys might have been taking me turkey hunting. But I was like, man, I don't know you. You got turkeys? And he's like, as a matter of fact, I do have turkeys. He's like, and let me make a phone call and you can hunt them tomorrow. And so I was thinking, like, yeah, we're getting access. We're getting permission. Like, great.
I mean, yeah, and he showed the land on Onyx, and you sent me the pen. I was like, I mean,
it looked good.
I mean, I'm not saying there's turkeys there, but if I was had to bet, I would say there is turkeys there. You know,
it looked turkey.
Yeah.
And so he's like, yeah, y'all are good to go. So, all right, great. We're making arrangements, finding a place to stay that night. I almost got abducted in that hotel, but anyway, that was a bad deal in itself. But as soon as I get somewhere settled, he texts me and he's like, hey, just so you know, the landowner is also hunting. And I was like, oh, cool. Is he hunting with us? He's like, no, he's actually hunting on his own. We have to set up on the opposite side of the property as him. And I knew right then, I was like, this ain't something I'm going to be a part of.
I remember he said something kind of slick. Maggie mentioned, he's like, well, if the landowner's hunting there, he's probably hunting with turkeys are, huh? You know? And not trying to be rude, just, you know, kind of making light of the situation. He goes, oh, well, I know where the turkeys are at. He don't know where they're at. I was kind of like, well, he does live there. He probably knows exactly where they're at. And as a matter of fact, he did. So
Onyx has this feature called recent imagery. I love to use my Onyx app to kind of figure out what I've got going on before I get somewhere. And so if you look at just at the first map it shows you, without adjusting any settings, it looks like this place is full of timber. I hit recent imagery. We are hunting a cutover, and where the landowner is hunting is the only block of timber on this property. And I'm like, man, you're telling me that. It's just, man, he told me, he's like, yeah, there's some roof trees over there. We were hunting a straight cut over. There was not a pine tree over 12 foot tall. I mean, yeah. So we get there in the dark. He also wants to hunt with us, which sometimes you get permission and you can just go in on your own, which is obviously preferable. But he's like, I want to take y'all. So we went in there with him, and we sat on the only mature pine tree within half a mile.
Yeah, I was just sitting there, not saying much. I was pretty frustrated. I didn't have one of those things that says, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. And I found myself.
You also cannot be ungrateful because someone tried to take you turkey hunting.
Correct. Just an awkward situation, which led to Maggie saying, hey, I got to get on an airplane here in 3 hours. We got to go.
Well. That was one of those things, like I said, if you have nothing nice to say, like, just don't say it at all. We didn't hear a gobble all day. The one gobble we did hear was obviously where the landowner was sitting. I was like, man.
Yeah, I mean, I was just waiting for a shotgun to go off.
There was one turkey on this property. And you know what? If he owns the land he's turkey on,
he
deserves
kill
to kill it.
Absolutely.
So, you know, we're like, all right, let's get out of here. And so we politely left, and we were left with literally no options. And so I'm like, let's just look around. Let's just try to find some turkeys, and I will go beg and plead if I have to. And so sure enough, we're on Onyx, and we see it's all these little blocks is what we're running into. We run into tiny block of land after tiny block of land. And so, I mean, you'll get – there's one property, it's just all fields, and there's one that's all timber. And so I realize it's going to be really hard to get permission on a place I can actually cover some ground, and then – we found the landowner, boy.
I couldn't believe it.
He owned a lot.
He owned all of it.
And
I'll never forget. I love door knocking, but anytime it's a real, real long driveway, all that's in my head is like trying to find an escape plan. You know, like, what's going to happen if this dude comes out with a shotgun type thing? We're going down this driveway. It seems like we're 2 miles in. And
I've seen the shotgun thing. I have seen it before. People will come to their door with a shotgun. You are not welcome, especially in camouflage. That puts people on alert whenever you come to their house dressed in camo.
No doubt. Well, we're going down this driveway, and I counted 5 turkeys down this driveway. And anyway, I was like, you know, there is no way that you get permission here. I'm going to let you go knock on the door, and I'm just going to pretend to be asleep in this truck. I'm wore out, tired. Not in a good mental state. And anyway, she gets out of the truck, and I mean, it's been 15 minutes. And so finally, I kind of sit up in my seat, and I look, and Maggie's not on the front porch. And I said, okay, well, there's 2 options. I said, either she's inside with the farmer and the wife making great conversation, and we got a jam-up place to hunt, or I'm going to have to call the cops, and Travis Williams ain't going to be too happy because his daughter is somewhere dead inside this farm. I mean, she'd been gone for a while.
Well, what happened was I knocked on the door, and the wife answered. And I said, you know, are you Mrs.? And she said, yes, I am. And I said, was your husband home? And she said, yes. And she said, well, it's cold. Come on. And it was a little chilly. She said, come on in. And so she let me in and shut the door behind me. And I was like, all right, well, here we are. The farmer was laying on the couch watching TV. They had a grandkid in the floor playing around. And I can see in the sunroom from the living room, there's a full body mountain turkey on a table in there. And I knew I was in trouble. And we get to talking. And I was very honest with him. I said, hey, you know, I'm from Arkansas. I've been turkey hunting around here for the last few days. And I honestly have nowhere else to go. And public is not open, and I just, it's a long shot, but would you care if I killed a turkey out here? And I said, it looks like there's turkeys out here. I've seen hens. I've not seen any long beards, but I'd love to get permission. And he looked at me and he said, well, you know, I'm sure you can tell me and my son are turkey hunters, or else I'd let you come. Well, we get to talking, and I just start talking about how much I love turkey hunting. He told me some turkey hunting stories, and he took me to the back room, and he had a 12-foot string of fishing line covered in spurs. And I was just like, man, I mean, he's a true blue Georgia turkey killer.
He's been around.
He had put some turkeys on the ground. And finally, after we got done talking, he said, you know what? Let me get your information. You're the first person I've ever let turkey hunt out here that was not my son. And he said, I'll let you kill one today. He said, how long are you going to be in town? I said, well, sir, I'm trying to go home tomorrow. All I need is today. That was incorrect. I needed more than that day. But at that time, I really thought if I could get permission on this place, I could just kill one right then. Well, he took my information. And I did not even have his phone number. He had mine. He got on my Onyx, and he said, hey, I'll just tell you where to even go. Where to check around. I mean, and we probably walked 11 miles.
That was the tough thing, too. You know, we didn't get started on this place till, I don't know, 12:30, 1 o'clock. And, everybody knows how that can be, trying to strike up one. It's like, you know, if one will gobble at 1 o'clock, you know, two or three times, odds are you're probably going to kill him. But just getting them to that point is just real tough. And we walked, and we'd glass, and we'd yelp. We walk, we'd glass, and we'd yelp. And
we didn't even scare a turkey, which is
the thing. It was so weird. I mean, it was like we come in here, there's turkeys everywhere. The hens were on a dust bowl and scratching around, so... Anyways, there was no gobbles. I know they weren't, you know, too active, but just figured we'd scare one or see one. I mean, we've walked 11 miles and haven't seen the first thing. There's turkey poop everywhere. I'm like, they're here. I just, so anyways, we find ourselves on my least favorite way to turkey hunt is we find ourselves kind of on just a little fire break about 20 yards off a pretty good size cattle field and just sat and glassed and hoped that we could see one by the afternoon and make a move on them. And we ended up counting 7 hens,
one and, Jake and a coyote.
Yeah, watched them fly out to roost and walk back to the house. And
that farmer did tell me, he said, you will see a longbeard if you sit right here. And then we saw a coyote out of the corner of our eye walking around the edge of the tree line. And every hen in the tri-state area started putting. And I was just, I was just like, are you kidding me? I mean, I got permission on this slam dunk place. He's never let anyone turkey hunt. Like, thank you, Lord. This is too good to be true. And then literally some coyote just comes and busts the place up. I mean, you just stepped on my dreams, man.
So anyways, we started making our way back to the house, and we heard turkeys fly from everywhere. We were the way this field was set up was surrounded by two big ridges that had a creek running all the way around it. I mean, there was turkeys all over it. And I remember getting back to the house, and I was like, man, I was trying to push for permission just one more day, even though I knew it probably wasn't gonna happen. I was like, I sure would love to hear it, you know, at the crack of dawn. I bet they'd light this place on fire. And he was, oh, man, one will start gobbling, and they just make a whole circle. They gobble everywhere. And his wife starts hyping it up. And, you know, me and Maggie are, oh, yeah, but that's how I would love to experience that, you know,
well, good luck to y'all. And he told
me. They were super nice. We talked for a while.
Oh, they were actually some of the nicest people I've ever met. He was so sweet. And I just don't know if they just really couldn't tell what we had going on. I think they're trying to fill us out. And
I mean, they're turkey hunters. And it was crazy that we got an afternoon there.
Yeah. I mean, that's really all. You can't ask for much more than that.
I was grateful for it.
So that's why I told them. They were like, we're sorry you didn't kill one. And I was like, no. I mean, that beats driving around begging for permission on little blocks. I was like, I got to hunt today. And that's all I can ask for. Thank you so much. And then what was funny was he said, you didn't tell me what you did. And I was just like, what do you mean? He says, what you do. He said, I Google searched you after you wrote down your name. And I saw your video on Field and Stream. Which, by the way, shout out to my friend Toby Smith from 21 South for making that beautiful video. He does a lot of really cool turkey hunting videos. So it was awesome to work with him. But he said, I saw that video. And then he had some pictures in his hand, and he's like, well, I want you to know I got a daughter, and she, you know, as a kid, she turkey hunted too, and my son still turkey hunts today. But he starts showing me their childhood photos with turkeys, and it was just the sweetest thing. And it was just such a sweet, heartwarming moment, and we really just kind of bonded over wild turkeys there for a minute. I mean, I talked about, you know, 10th Legion and how much I love the book, and I was impressed by him, and he was impressed by me, and, you know, you hear, I mean, we watched The Colonel and the Fox a few days before when it first came out, and, you know, you'll hear the, in the intro, Daniel and everybody's talking about how turkey hunting is a cult. There is so much truth to that.
You know, I mean, when you meet a turkey hunter.
A true blue turkey. There are people that hunt turkeys, and there are turkey hunters.
Yeah, no doubt. And you could tell. I mean, he'd seen a lot, and it was just fun talking to him. And I think he had fun talking to us, you know.
It's a special common ground.
No doubt. And anyways, we said our goodbyes, and we were on our way, and we're grateful, and tell them, you know, thank you anyway. You know, we just had a great time, and trying to figure out what we're going to do in the morning. I said, well, here's a steakhouse in the middle of nowhere. I said, I'd be willing to bet there's some farmers or something up here. Maybe we can go make some connections. And we walking in the steakhouse, y'all. I mean, you would have thought the president had just walked in this joint. Everybody and their mama knows Maggie in this place.
That is not true. That is so cap.
It was so funny. I mean, people's looking at, and maybe they didn't know you after it. Maybe they just saw two folks in leafy suits and bottomland in this restaurant. They're like, what are these folks? And we're in the middle of nowhere.
That was more likely. But I would tell you, there was another guy in bottomland over there. And,
with a cuz outboard hat on.
So I walked right up to him, and I was like, hey, man, are you from Arkansas? You know, I was happy to see somebody. You know, and he was like, no. And I was like, well, you're a long way from cuz outboards in. And he's like, yeah, well, I hunt in Arkansas. And I basically just felt him out. And I was like, man, you hear any turkeys gobble? And he's like, no, it's been awful. And, man, that really wasn't what I wanted to hear. But then the guy behind him, actually, he did know me. And he's like, hey, girl. I don't have any turkeys, but I have someone who does. And he gave me their phone number. And anyway, so we got really hopeful there for, I mean, things were looking up. And we sit there, and I've got me a filet in front of me. And y'all know how I love my steaks. So I'm just enjoying this great piece of meat, just really trying to be hopeful. And I get a text message. And it's that farmer. And I did not even have his number, but he said, you know, this is Mr. And in this message, he said, I hope you had a good time today. If you need a place to hunt in the morning, feel free to come back. Literally, I jump out of my seat in this restaurant, and I just high-five trip across the table. I mean, you could have told me I won $1 million, and I wouldn't be more excited. We got the key to the city.
Yeah, that was a high point there when he sent that text.
I knew it then that it had to happen today, because we'd been waiting on Sunday. I mean, we knew that it was going to be great, great.
Oh, yeah. Weather. Pressure was great. You know, it was in the, I think it was 44 off the rip this morning, just beautiful, clear skies. I mean, every star was in the sky, and I was like, it's going to happen today somewhere, you know. And we, you know, so anyways, we got up there super early when we walked a long ways, had to come all the way down that ridge, through a field, walked a creek for several hundred yards, and climbed all the way to the top of that ridge, you know, on a good little knoll there, and we could hear for a long ways. And anyways, sitting there waiting on them to gobble, and they did all right. I mean,
they gobbled five times on the
ridge. It was really slow, and but I mean, it's still kind of cold. It was like 40 at the time. And
but to be fair, I had not heard gobbles in days at this point, so I felt like they gobbled a million times. I mean, five was a lot.
Yeah. It was just the weirdest thing. I mean, we heard them pitch down, and they didn't really say much, and we started doing a little bit of scratching, and the sun started coming up, and as soon as it hit 45, 46 degrees, they caught fire. I mean, they were gobbling everywhere. We had, and we were in this big old ridge, and it's a big old bowl system. So one would hammer, you know, and it's really, really loud in there. But at the same time, when they can change, when they're changing levels like that so fast, one can sound like he's at 40 yards, and he can gobble again, and he sounds like he's at 200 yards, just the way they can direct their gobbles and work those bowls. And we had one out in front of us, I'd say, you know, 100, 120. He started hammering, Yeah, he was a big turkey. I mean, every time he gobbled, it would be at the end.
He choked on.
It was a very distinguished gobble. And we're kind of focused towards him, doing a couple yelps at him. And all of a sudden, this turkey behind us, who's down at the very bottom of this ridge, he starts gobbling. Well, every time he would gobble, I'd be like, it almost seemed like he was gobbling at the same time as the bird in front of us. And again, the way that ridge system works, they can just direct those gobbles, and it sounds like they're in 10 different places at one time. And
looking back, that's exactly what was happening. One would start it, and the other one would gobble at his gobble, but that one of them had that real long, distinct gobble, and so it kept going on longer than the other. And long story short, you just couldn't tell where they were coming from, because they were almost synced, you know what I mean?
And we found ourselves right in the middle of both of them. And so anyways, I keep telling Maggie, I'm like, there's one behind us. She's like, you're crazy. He's in front of us. I was like, I know there's one there, but I swear there's one behind us. And maybe I'm crazy, you know, maybe it's just echoing. I'm hearing the echo. Well, so the bird in front of us, he kind of starts drifting to the right. And there's a little two-track trail out in front of us. I said, I bet he's on that trail right there, strutting. He's wanting us to come that way. I said, let's drop back behind us a little bit and make a move. Well, so we start swinging and doing a little scratching and just a little what I call like traveling yelps, you know, just making just turkey happy noises. And we get to this bigger pine tree where we're in a really good position where if he comes up over hill, I mean, he's at 30 yards. He would have to get within shooting range to see us. So anyways, he hasn't gobbled for a few minutes, and Maggie's just standing beside the tree. I was like, get in position to, so we're probably not going to shoot him from right here. I said, but get in position where you can kill one. And about,
well,
I'm
the thing is,
you,
we were both frozen. Like, we didn't know where to go. And so we were both staying, and it wasn't like I was just hanging around being casual. I mean, we literally could not tell which direction to go and where to make a move, if to make a move at all.
Yeah. I mean, we were waiting for a gobble, and for whatever reason, I was like, just sit down, you know, get in position in case one just is on top of us. I'm telling you, it wasn't more than 30, 40 seconds after she sat down.
And he was
like,
there,
oh,
boy.
He's on top of us. And so anyways, I'm looking, and finally I caught a glimpse of just the top of his fan on the other side of that ridge in front of us. I said, there he is. I said, but he's moving fast. I mean, he'd blow up, and he'd pop out of strut, and then he'd take off another 15, 20 yards. And anyways, that gobbler behind us hammered again. I said, I told you there's one behind us. And you could see the one in front of us. He started going fast. I said, that's what's happening. I said, they're about to go over there. They're going to fight. And sure enough, the more dominant bird that was in front of us, he takes off all the way around down that ridge to the turkey that was behind us. And I said, he'll be back. I said, don't worry about it. And we gave it a second. We just did some scratching. About that time, they both hammered at probably 60 yards coming. So here they come, you know. And it was kind of real thick where they were coming from. And we really needed them to come all the way to our left and come back down that two-track trail. But the problem was, if they came down that two-track trail, they weren't going to be in shooting range. And these woods up here are so open. It was that kind of, I know that sounds contradictory. It was thick and open. But really, the spot that we were at, it was really thick where they were coming from. Down at that bottom. So he had to come all the way back up the ridge and then come back to our left. And so anyways, I can see him, both of them coming through the trees, and
I was shaking.
Maggie was kind of set up. Yeah, you were kind of set up to the right, and it's like, you're going to have to swing.
Oh, I was set up completely. I was aiming completely for the right, because that's where they were gobbling.
Yeah.
And so I had to move my gun barrel literally, 3 feet.
We had to get this turkey. We had to let him go past us and then bring him back to be able to get a good shot opportunity.
It the way it happened was honestly unbelievable. But one of these birds, I'm telling you, was a stud. I mean, actually, they were both great turkeys. They were definitely both. I can't age them. I'm not a biologist, but he was not a 2-year-old. He was a good, mature bird. I mean, he was. And the other one was a lot bigger than him. I mean, I tell you that. His beard was so thick, I could not tell if he had multiple or if that one was just huge. But you'll see the ones that are real big, you know, they'll split in the middle. It was, I mean, he was His body size, everything about him was just like.
And I mean, he was the dominant bird. He was big. He never broke strut the whole time. And this bird that you ended up shooting, he was more of the looker, and he was with that dominant bird. And so anyways, it was beautiful. They came all the way to our, let them come all the way to our left, and they kind of got behind a little bit of trees, and Maggie swung her gun over real fast and made a really good move. And sure enough, they came, just got right position. And I was like, she was on that strutter. And last minute I said, shoot that bottom one, which was the bird she ended up killing, the looker, we'll say. And looking back now, it kind of gave you a little stumble. You weren't ready for me to say that. But
I mean, I was on the top one the entire time. And he's like, shoot the bottom one. And I was like, okay. So I hesitated.
But and I don't know, you know, I'm not a biologist either, but they, you know, the dominant bird is obviously, you know, you would think is going to breed more. And for, I don't know, for whatever reason, I just said, you know.
And we've talked about this before. Like, yeah. We have this theory that obviously more dominant birds are going to breed more. So it's just like one of those things. I mean, you shoot the less dominant bird. That way the other ones continue to carry out those genes and to continue to reproduce. And so that's where he's coming from. And I understood it immediately where he was saying. So I was just like, all right. So I was finally able to get on that second bird and get on him. But, man, it was pretty. And you've never seen a celebration, man. I mean, it was just like the relief. I was so happy. I was so happy. And Tripp was thrilled. And we just sat there and enjoyed him. And it was really neat that we were able to watch the Colonel and the Fox that week. And then I had my copy. I've carried my copy of 10th Legion with me all year. I keep it in my vest. But it was neat to have it there after watching the film. And it just made it so special. And a few days ago, I had a friend. Y'all know Macy Watkins. She was in South Georgia. And she was posting all about this turkey that had 20 tail feathers in the fan. And it's how it was rare and how she'd never seen it before. And, you know, all turkeys have oddities. You will never kill two turkeys alike. I mean, I've killed turkeys with a metallic ring through the black in their fan. I've killed turkeys with all kind of crazy colorations. I mean, obviously not a color phase, but just little quirks and oddities, you know. And so I was like, man, that's neat. I looked at this one's fan. The second I killed him, I was like, well, this one's got a big fan. And Tripp's like, yeah, sure enough. And I got down there, and I counted, and he had 20 tail feathers in his fan instead of 18, like they typically do. And I just thought that was really neat, especially after hearing about hers a few days ago. I don't know if it's something in the water in Georgia or what, but it's a neat little genetic mutation there. But, yeah, it was a beautiful bird.
Yeah, it was a fun morning, no doubt. And sit there and celebrate them, you know, on top of that ridge and overlook that big field as the sun came up. And, I mean, there's turkeys. When you got to the edge of that field on the very top of the mountain, you could hear them gobbling everywhere. And they just were hammering all morning long. The only reason I quit hearing turkeys gobble this morning was because we got in the truck. So, I mean, it was just a great morning. And a relief to a long week. And I mean, it was a long week, and it kind of seemed like everybody around us was just having a tough time. One of our really, really good buddies in North Alabama, I feel so sorry for him. I mean, he's had a horrible year.
This.
I mean, he's been around turkeys every day.
Well, let me tell y'all this. So Tripp has been a great turkey hunting mentor to me. I consider him to be, for his age, he's a very high caliber turkey hunter, I'd say. He's got great woodsmanship. He's someone I really enjoy learning from. And our friend in Alabama is very similar. They have the same turkey hunting style. I love to hunt with him as well. He's another great friend of mine. But he's just got this woodsmanship about him where he understands the woods. He understands the birds. And men like this, or I say men and women, people that are gifted with just natural instincts of how to get on birds and read birds, their brain works differently. And he's one of those people. And so, anyway, I consider him to be one of the best turkey hunters I know. And it was just, I mean, I was telling folks all about it. And I was like, hey, you know, I think if these boys got together and hunted, you know, there wouldn't be a turkey in the county to be safe. They are jam up. And
we anyway, found ourselves together.
They, well, the first few days, this buddy of mine, I called him and see how he did. And, you know, he missed one opening morning. And I was like, oh, well, I hate that. I mean, but that's turkey hunting. That happens. I mean, it just happens. And I hate when people say, I've never missed a turkey. I hate that. That is so obnoxious for me to hear. Because you know what? If you've not missed a turkey, you have not been presented with enough opportunity to miss one. The very best turkey hunters in America miss turkeys. Dave Owens missed turkeys. I'll tell you that right now. If you do it enough, you're just going to miss them. And so I was like, man, ain't nothing but a thing. Like, just go shoot you one, you know, tomorrow. That's fine. Well, I don't know if he is cursed or if he has a case of the gyps. I don't know what it is, but...
Well, it's not just him either.
That's why I think he's cursed. I mean, I told him that before I turkey hunt with him, I would like him to get rebaptized or have an exorcism performed on him. Because, y'all, this man has seen 8 turkeys get caught up in Alabama this year, and ain't one of them has died yet.
And I commend him because, I mean, he's still taking other folks, and literally every person that he has taken has missed. And I'm like, man, you just need to go get one on your own. So he'll go the next day on his own, and he's unfortunately missed 2 or 3 times.
I mean, you went with him, and he missed then.
Yeah.
It was just, this man, literally, I mean, he might miss one turkey a year or less. Up until this year, he said, he really had not missed very many. I mean, he's a great shot. He's a great hunter. I mean, he's killed tons of big deer, tons of turkeys. I mean, it's not like it's trigger panic or anything. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I got a Snapchat this morning, you know. I was kind of scared to send a picture of the bird we shot this morning just because I felt so bad, so sorry for him. I got a Snapchat from him, and I was like, heck yeah. I was like, finally shot one. I think I got a Snapchat like 9:15. Open it up. It's a Benelli M2 with a bent barrel.
Wrapped around a tree.
I said, yeah, I understand, brother. I would probably be there too. And I mean, dog, he took somebody again. The same person that missed yesterday took him again this morning, and they missed again. So.
The problem was his girlfriend, who's also another great friend of mine, she has his gun with a red dot on it. I like red dots. I've got a red dot on my gun. But I guess her red dot was off.
Travels a lot with it.
Yeah.
That's I do not shoot a red dot. I don't shoot a red dot. You do. And red dots are great. I know a bunch of people that shoot them, love them. They're great. But me and my buddy, we don't shoot them. We travel so much and hunt all kinds of different terrain. You find yourself in the mountains, you know, and just turkey hunting hard, just hard on stuff. And that's always kind of scared me with those red dots. And kind of same thing with your friend who travels a lot.
Well, I have a red dot on mine. I'm careful with it. I try to take care of it, and I enjoy it. But her red dot was off, and he found out after the hunt yesterday. He went to pattern her gun, and her red dot was off by a foot to the left. And so he's like, oh, hey, her friend's who he had caught up a bird for. And he's like, well, hey, don't worry about it. You know, that gun was off. Let me sight it in for you, and we'll track in tomorrow. Well, he gave her a different gun without a red dot, and then he brought a 12 gauge of his that had a red dot. Well, it's a different gun that he'd been shooting all year. And anyway, his red dot actually died throughout the hunt. I guess it had a dead battery. So when that turkey came up, I mean, he just had to kind of guess, because that red dot's obviously in the way now of the bead. And anyway, they counted down 1, 2, 3. The girl shot and he shot, and the turkey lived on. So
just rough.
I mean, has anyone else heard of this happening? I mean, like I said, I've seen people with the gyps, and it is horrible to see. It is something you never want to be a part of, because I mean, if I miss a turkey, it's user error or whatever, but by God, I'm gonna pull up, and I will shoot every time, and most of the time, you know, I can rise to the occasion. But whenever people are not mentally in the headspace to kill one, they will never kill one. The second you start asking questions about your gun, the second you start thinking, whenever you let your mind think is what really is where you go wrong. I mean, you have to be in the mindset, and it's just, that's why, I mean, I think this isn't, that's why I think it's not the gyps. I genuinely think this man has been cursed. Like I said, I told him, we need some holy water, and he needs to go to church.
Well, other than that, it's been a pretty good turkey season. I'm definitely glad that George is out of the way, so you need to go get a new truck.
Yeah. Okay, I do. Speaking of trucks, yeah. I mean,
yeah,
I've got one. Let me just go into the store, I guess. By the time we had figured out, you know, what was going on with my truck, it was going to be, I mean, it takes weeks to get a transmission fixed. And so I was just like, you know what, let me just trade. Yeah, I realized the importance of having a warranty on them. And I drive them really faster than I can pay for them, just to be honest with you. I don't want to lose all the equity in my truck. Once you put 100,000 miles on a 2023, I mean, there's really not a lot of value there. So I said, I'm going to get out while I'm ahead and just try to, because it's just, it's expensive to drive them, you know, as much as I drive them, but that's really my only option. So I was like, well, let me trade them out. So I got me one waiting on me. I've not even looked at it, but it's got my camper shell on it and my deck system in it, and I'll be ready to roll again once I get back to Arkansas. I'll be ready to be home. Let's talk about Cater. Speaking of home, man, I could cry sitting here saying her name. I miss her so much. I've not been away from Kate this long since she went to training for the first time as a puppy. But Kate had a phenomenal duck season. I mean, that girl had it going on. She put it all together, and she crushed it. And so last turkey season, after we've been hunting, you know, duck hunting all year, I was like, let me leave my mom and daddy. Big mistake. Big mistake. I love my parents. They're the best doggy grandparents in the world. But it is to a fault, because they will feed that dog ice cream cones and cheeseburgers. And I picked up a dog that was 25 pounds heavier than I dropped her off whenever I came back home in June from turkey hunting all year. And I was like, man, I can't do that again. So I went to Bo and Molly at Ridgemark Retrievers. They trained my first hunting dog ever. They trained Sissy. And they did such a good job on Sissy. I said, well, I sent Kate to her whenever she was a puppy. And Kate went there for 6 months, got started. And they did excellent with her. And so I said, hey, I'd like to keep on moving, because she had so much potential. And so they've had her since March 1st. And Molly's been texting me updates, and I'm excited for the future. They're going to hopefully have her running some little trials this spring and see how she does, but I've been really happy with Bo and Molly. They've been great to work with. They're great with my dog. Very knowledgeable and professional, and I'm about to get them on the podcast here soon, because they are phenomenal. I love Molly being a woman in dog training, obviously, but they're big golden people, which is important to me, because, I mean, you can say whatever you want. I think golden retrievers are the best dogs on earth. I think whenever God made a dog, that's what he had in mind, probably. You know, I mean, they are truly the best. But you cannot train a golden retriever like you can train a Labrador. It's a different approach. They're different animals. Their brains compute differently. And so for Bo and Molly both to have had field goldens that hunt, it changes their approach, and I think it changes the outcome. I mean, they produce great golden retrievers all the time, and I'm excited. I'm ready to go see her. I miss her.
I bet. I miss, you know, hanging out. You know, got to see her a lot during duck season, and got to see her become a really, really established dog. You know, confidence for a hunting dog is everything, and they're confident in eating cheeseburgers and ice cream every day, or they're confident in hunting. And it was just cool to see her develop this year. And her drive just was, I mean, it's phenomenal. She just came a long way. I can remember start of the season, it was my dog, unfortunately, she passed away in February of 22. I'm sorry.
23.
My dog, she, you know, unfortunately, she passed away in February of 23. So I didn't have a hunting dog, and Maggie was like, well, we got Kate. And I was like, well, there's never really many two great stories at the front. Not that Kate wasn't a great dog. She was a great field trial dog. It just seemed like when it got cold, she just didn't want to go. She kind of shut down. And
The problem with that was, honestly, the first 2 years of Kate's life, I was a part of a different hunting group and ran around with a different crowd. And I'll be honest with you, we did not kill enough ducks in front of Kate. That is the truth of the matter. I hung out with several guys that had dogs, and I was kind of embarrassed to bring a younger dog around. And, I mean, they just did not kill very many ducks, truth be told. And it was just a mess a lot of times. It was unorganized. I didn't like to bring a dog. And so I was scared to bring her. And whenever I finally had opportunities to kind of get out on my own and just do my own thing with her, she'd always perform, but then she'd shut down when it got cold. And I think that was all lack of experience and lack of confidence. And once she really figured out, hey, this is what I'm here to do, this is my job, I think part of that's also being a young dog. I'm, you know, figuring it out. But once she had it figured out, boy, she was on. I mean,
no doubt.
We took her to Kansas, and it was freezing cold. That was the coldest day she'd ever hunted, and that was the best day she ever hunted.
Oh, yeah, she did great. I think, you know, something that changed Kate's career around is when you and your dad went up to North Dakota. I think that taking a dog in a dry field for its first hunt, I know that that's not available to everybody, but if you're able to, I think putting a hunting dog in a dry field where you're going to kill a bunch of ducks, where it's, you know, particularly pretty easy, but it gets that taste in their mouth and they see everything and it just gets them fired up. And that's kind of what happened to Kate. I took her to North Dakota. She picked up a ton of ducks and came down, and when Arkansas opened up, she was ready to roll, did great. Took her to Kansas, which is one of the most cold days. Maggie went and bought a Mr. Buddy heater for her, and I was like, oh, Lord, you know, she's still kind of scared she's going to shut down in the cold. And
she's also my baby. I mean, I want to take care of her. Yeah. I mean, that is my fault. I mean, I am a dog mom. Like, if I'm hunting, I'm a duck hunter. But if I am hunting with Kate, I am Kate's mom. I mean, I'll have her wrapped up in a wool blanket if I think she's cold.
But, I can remember there was, man, she picked up so many ducks that day. It was a great day of hunting. I can remember one, we'd shot a cripple when it kind of fell off pretty far, and you cast Kate out and sent her over, and she got on that duck and it kind of pop its head up and go back down, come up, go back down. And Kate finally had enough of the little tag game they were playing there, and she dumped her head under for must have been 5 or 6 seconds. I was like, yo, look at that. She's got her head fully under the water. And she popped her head back up. She had that drake in her mouth. I was like, oh, my goodness. She's done got it figured out.
She had it figured out. I mean, she was on it that day. And, man, that was so much fun.
Yeah, the rest of the year, you know, Arkansas had that big polar freeze come through. And we tried to be careful with her. If it got below 10, we wouldn't take her. But after the freeze right there, she hunted those last 2 weeks and youth weekend. Man, she did great.
If she hunted in the teens, it was like 19. I hunted her on the warmest days of the freeze. And that's, I know she's a dog. I don't ever want to underestimate the fact that she is a dog, but she's also my best friend in the world. So, it was high teens when we hunted her during the freeze. And she really did fine. I mean, she had it figured out. I didn't want to risk it. But
yeah,
well, I'm ready to go home and see her.
I'm excited for you to get to see her and get a truck and keep this season rolling. You've got some states under your belt, and sounds like you got a bunch more coming up.
Yeah, it's been a great turkey season so far. I mean, I've been very, very blessed to see some birds get on the ground. I've been on some great hunts. I've been blessed to watch some great hunts, to call for some great hunts, and I would say video, but man, I'm the world's worst videographer. But I promise the YouTube is coming along. We're about to get some great stuff out to you guys. Second I'm back on wheels, we will be back in business, and I'm excited for it. I'm excited for it a lot. Cannot wait.
Heck yeah. Well, good luck with the rest of the season. I'm sure we'll catch up along the way somewhere.
Somewhere. Well, I hope you have a great turkey season as well, Tripp. Thanks for talking with me, and thanks for helping me out and let me borrow your truck this week. That was a game changer for sure.
Yeah, I hope we're not in that situation again, but made the best of it. And came out toting a bird this morning, just full circle. I mean, it feels good to win. Lord, it. I mean, it's just refreshing. And what do they say over there at Mossy Oak now? Sometimes you get the turkey, and sometimes you are the turkey. And today we got them.
We got them today.
Seems like you were the turkey for a while there.
So. Oh, I was, and that's okay. But we got on them, and it was a blessing. I thank you guys for listening and being able to hear our stories. It sure was fun to live them, and it was a lot of fun to tell them. I'll see y'all pretty soon once again on the Magdalene's Podcast.
See ya.
And we are out.
You've been listening to the Maggie Williams Podcast. Join us each and every time right here where you catch your favorite podcast. And if you've missed an episode, well, it's a podcast. You can go back and catch up. We'll catch you next time right here.